Delighted that you're here today and trust that God will speak to us. You have heard today probably some of the most solemn passages found in the Word of God. Prophetic words of what shall soon come to pass. My mentor, old brother Ralph Barnard, who I thought was one of the most powerful preachers I have ever heard, used to break out in song, and he would sing these words, "Oh, my loving mother, when the world's on fire, don't you want God's bosom to be your pillow? Hide me over in the rock of ages, rock of ages, cliff for me. I'm going to heaven when the world's on fire, and I want God's bosom to be my pillow. Hide me over in the rock of ages, cliff for me. Oh, my loving brother, when the world's on fire, don't you want God's bosom to be your pillow? Hide me over in the rock of ages, cliff for me. Oh, my loving sinner, when the world's on fire, don't you want God's bosom to be your pillow? Hide me over in the rock of ages, cliff for me. Don't you want to go to heaven when the world's on fire? Don't you want God's bosom to be your pillow? Hide me over in the rock of ages, cliff for me." That song has never had greater meaning to me than it does today. Actually, it was an old Baptist hymn, and it was sung to the tune we now sing, "This land is your land, this land is my land, when the world's on fire." I want to speak to you on the subject, what should a pastor say to his people when the world's on fire? What should I say to my kids, my sheep, when the world's on fire? The first thing I should tell you as your pastor is the world's on fire. I am appalled at the ignorance and stupidity of politicians, actually the blindness. Hillary Clinton said last night in the debate that we are not at war, that this is not our war. This is not an American war with extremist jihad. I would say to you, exactly. Then what happened on September 11th when the planes hit the trade centers? What happened in Benghazi when our ambassador was drugged through the streets and the members of his body cut off? We obviously are at war with somebody. What happened on Friday the 13th? Terrorist strikes overseas in France. I want to make it very clear to you, here in Pontiac, we're about to take hundreds of Syrian immigrants here in our city. If you are so blind to think that terrorist extremists will not be in that bunch, you are truly blind. I know that some of you are going to leave here saying he went political again. I'm not talking politics today. I'm talking Revelation 19. Yeah. The second thing that I want to say to you, and I only have 2 points today, but it may take a while. But the second thing that I want to say to you today is, don't worry about it. God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation. We win. We win. As we traveled down the road of history, there has been numerous times when this old world of sinful man has attempted to overthrow God. You find it throughout Scripture that men and women live in a constant state of desire to overthrow God. This is at the heart of it. Man in his depraved nature says, I will not have this man rule over me. No God for me. Keep your hands off of me. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. But on the other hand, man is quick to erect his own monument to his own God, a God of his own making, a God of his own will. We see that in the book of Romans. At different times, when the rebellion gets so great, God himself shows up and puts the uprising down and slows the process of rebellion. The great goal of depraved man is to overthrow God. He does not wish to retain the true and the living God in his knowledge. Lucifer tried to do that way, way back before the creation of this world. He attempted to vacate the throne of God. He said, I will descend to the throne. I will tell God to scoot over. And of course, you know that Lucifer failed. And in the end, you'll find out that so does sinful men. As Greg read today, he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Man in the Old Testament built the Tower of Babel. He said, we're going to go up and take God off the throne. And God said, I'm going to send where you can't even understand one another. You're going to speak with other tongues and languages. And God kept them from building the tower. Of course, Adam and Eve, Satan's ploy was, don't you want to be like God? Wouldn't you like to be your own boss? Tried to overthrow God. Noah, in Noah's day, the wickedness of man got so great that God said, I'm going to wipe out generations of people. And he sent a tremendous flood and wiped them out. And during that time, the scripture says that man's imagination and his heart was only deceitful continually and desperately wicked. God has sent earthquakes to swallow rebels. Man in his depravity is constantly active in this one cause. You will not rule over me. And there are some of you here today that are in outright active rebellion. God said, this is my son, this is my boy, trust him, believe on him, and thou shalt be saved. And you will not come to Christ that you might have life. You are in rebellion. The whole world is in the last stage of its rebellion, I believe. And I'm telling you, as my kids, I want you to know what's going to happen. And when you see it happen, you still have a consciousness that God is on his throne. And in the end, we win. You're going to see some awful and tremendous things happen in this country in the future. I've been using this little cliche. Paris on Friday, Detroit on Saturday. Do you think they're not here? Do you think that terrorists are not in this country? Just a fact. Entire city council in Hamtramck is Muslim. Close, huh? You say, well, Pastor, are you accusing them of being terrorists? I don't know, but I do know this. They're here. And if you think you and I are going to escape, you think about bringing all of these folks from Syria, 2,000 or 3,000 to downtown Pontiac? Do you think that out of that amount of people coming from Syria, two of the folks who blew themselves up are from Syria, who came to France? Don't be blind, folks. Read your Bible and read your newspaper and say this. God said that was going to happen. Last night I thought it was also quite astonishing to hear presidential candidates say they didn't want to offend anybody. And so they didn't use the term extremist or Muslim extremist. I'll tell you this. If Southern Baptists were blowing up people in this country and were terrorists, I would say the Southern Baptists. You get my point. Call a spade a spade. The stage is being set for the Antichrist to appear, the embodiment of the Antichrist. If you're here and you haven't trusted Christ, you're Antichrist. You have the Antichrist spirit. But soon a hero will come. The world will worship this hero. And if it were possible, even the very elect would be deceived. Thank God it's not possible for God's elect to be deceived. I mean, the Bible talks about in the last day, the dead are going to be raised by this ungodly hero. This Antichrist who desires to be worshipped. Do you ever consider how humans treat one another? I mean, if you're here and you doubt the depravity of man's heart and the need to be born again, look around you. We have thrown God out of America. And this nation, for years now, I've been giving the illustration of the sign that years ago on the Canadian side of Niagara River was a sign, a very small sign that said, past the redemption point. It meant when you got past there, you were going over the falls. And I've been saying for years now, we are nearing past the redemption point. I don't know whether God is going to give us one more opportunity or not. It would seem to me that we have passed a point. That doesn't mean giving up, though, which I will address later. Consider human slavery. You know, Pam was telling me last night that the state of Michigan is second in the slavery of children. That thousands are paid for infant children who are raised in a state of sex slavery and sold on the market. Kidnappings, babies for sale, abortion, selling baby parts. Consider ISIS itself and the heads of Christians that have been cut off by Johnny Boy that they got this week. By the way, I'm glad they blew Johnny Boy to bits. And Johnny Boy was the guy that cut off all the Christians' heads. He was the butcher who was raised in what we would call a civilized society. I don't know whether there is a civilized society besides God's people. Said, well, America's a civilized society. We're selling baby parts, folks. United States of America, your taxpayer dollars are paying for that. This is not a civil society. Tonight, Miss Pam and I go to the chief wicked city in the United States called Washington, D.C. Pray for us there. And let me tell you what's happening. Some of us don't really sense our need of the Holy Spirit in a real way every day. Christians, but let me tell you this, what's happening. The Holy Spirit, according to the Thessalonian letter, there will come a time when the Holy Spirit will step back. He will not be taken out of the world because we would have absolutely total chaos. So the Holy Spirit steps back, and that vacuum is now there where every man does what he wants to do. It's a scary thought, isn't it? The Holy Spirit is the one that holds evil back. The great falling away is here. The church went to sleep years ago. We went to sleep years ago. And people, churches with 501c3s where the tax people said, you can't mention anything about politics. You can't say anything about anything that has to do with political leaders or government. You can't say anything, or we'll take away your tax exempt. You can have my tax exempt. I'm going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I remember several years ago, myself and the men of grace went to a church not too far from here. And I brought the message, and the pastor said to me after the service, we can never have you back. You're way too political. I didn't want to go back anyway. Obviously, you didn't hear me. Say, well, Pastor, I don't know about all everything what you're saying. Well, then I would just encourage you, little child of God. I'm just talking to you who primarily are members of this church because I'm your shepherd. I'll give you some things to watch. Watch Russia, the bear from the north. Watch Israel. Watch what happens to Israel. We've just had a tremendous move toward Antichrist by turning our backs on Israel. Watch China. Watch Iran. Watch Iraq. Watch as the persecution of the church comes. You watch. You may live, and I may live to get locked up. I may. The collapse of the economy. I believe it's on its way. I read this week the dollar's worth 3 cents. Now I'm going to say something some of you aren't going to like. Keep your guns. You're going to need them. I know some of you are going to leave. That was the pastor on the radio, Pastor Clark. He said, keep your guns. You know why I say keep your guns? You know what I would do if a person broke into my house and was threatening to rape my wife? I would shoot them dead. I'm getting calls about, do you really believe that we should go after ISIS? Go after them mercilessly, as the president of France said. Just use your head. I would just wish that we had people who, you know, I go like this when I'm watching television. Do you talk to the TV? Sometimes I think Pam thinks I'm having a running conversation. What are you thinking? What did you just say? What does a pastor ask his folks to do? Here's what I ask you to do. nothing more than I pray God will give me grace to do. Stand. Stand. Take a stand. You say, well, you know, why are you talking about vote? Register to vote. Maybe God's going to give us one more shot at this. Maybe there's going to be a stay. I really don't know. But I'll tell you, it's not going to happen unless there's different people in charge of this country. I can tell you that. The applause kind of died down. But now that I've perhaps depressed you just a little bit, how does this whole thing end up? I love Revelation 19. In case you didn't notice, Revelation 19 begins this way. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. Our God reigns. Aren't you glad this world is not a runaway? It's not a runaway. Well, it just looks like, because some of you, because of what I've said, you've sunk a little deeper maybe into your depression. But let me lift you up away. God holds the reins to this world. He's sovereign. He's in charge. And so you don't forget, God has a plan. You say, well, you know, if God has a plan, let's all just sit down and whatever's meant to be will be, whether it happens or not. That is called fatalism. You know what I do every day? This is my motto. Work every day like it all depends on me, knowing that it all depends on God. That's the way I live my life. We're going to build a new women and children shelter. How can that be? We need $5.7 million. How can that be? Oh, we're going to do it. We're going to work hard. We're going to talk to people. We're going to advertise. We're going to ask people to give. We're going to seek grants. But most of all, we're going to trust God, because that's impossible for us. How does this thing end up? Well, the world is on fire, but we haven't had the Big Bang yet. But there's a Big Bang coming. It's called Armageddon. When the blood will be up to the horse's bridle. You need to get prepared in case you're here during that time. Bombs are going to be dropped. People are going to be killing people. All kinds of gory things are going to happen. In fact, it's going to be so bad and so many people are going to die that God's going to send the buzzards to clean the mess up. Did you hear Greg reading about God's going to call the birds? Isn't it great how our God's not going to leave all this garbage laying around. He's going to send the buzzards to clean this up. Look, the way some of you are looking at me, it's like, oh my gosh, what are we hearing? You heard that from the Word of God. The false prophet is going down that wrought miracles and deceived the whole earth. Armageddon is going to happen. The apostate church is going to be put down. The errors of religion. By the way, this whole thing with ISIS is all about religion, you know. Oh, you're not of our persuasion? Your head's rolling. Now, you can be a nice little religious person and sit in your seat and ignore this, but it's coming. And there may be a few of us die. But you know what's with us is this: absent from the body, present with the Lord. This world is not my home. You know what the battle's been over all this time? Whether God is God and God is Savior, and whether salvation's of the Lord. You know, Satan's greatest ploy, you see Satan moving. The Bible is a hymn book. It's all about Christ, that God is going to invade history, that Jesus is coming. All the powers of hell tried to stop that. Herod decided he'd kill all the male babies. He wasn't going to let this king ever rule. And so there was a decree sent out. But all the way along, the sovereign God, as he invaded history and came into this world, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. God came down to this earth. And now the battle gets more intense. They take him up on Calvary and nail him to a cross and put him in a tomb. And Satan and his crew says, "It's over." Satan on the second day called up the grave and said, "Do you have him? He's still here. He's not moving. He's still here." On the third day, Satan called up the grave. "Do you have him? There's something going on down here. Something happening down here. Something happened. He is not here." Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph for his foe. He arose a victor from the dark domains. Hallelujah. Christ arose. And it's so noticeable. I was jumping in my study yesterday. In the Revelation, the 19th chapter, he will not let go of him being the Lamb. It's just, he's the Lamb. He's the Lamb. The Bible said he was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. When you think about a lamb, you think about John the Baptist who said, "Behold, he's here. Behold the Lamb of God, the sacrifice, the substitute, the propitiation, the Redeemer, the Savior of mankind." And he came and died, buried, went back to heaven. He sits up there with nail scars. And what's happening all of these years? What exciting times this is. The bride and the groom are about to get together. And he's already built the house. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. Don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. If I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. We win. The marriage of the Lamb has come. I thought, and I kind of said this out loud to myself, or maybe to Slewfoot yesterday, you're not going to get me to major on ISIS. I'm going to major on the Lamb. I'm going to tell everybody, you are a loser. Christ is a winner. That's what I'm going to tell. And in the meantime, between the coming of Christ and Armageddon, we're going to track you down and eliminate you. How's that for being Christian? That's solid stuff. That makes sense. You're not going to destroy my country. You're not going to kill my kids. You're not going to murder my wife. I heard some of the men in Paris beg the terrorists not to shoot their wives. They tried to reason with the terrorists. You can only reason with reasonable people. All through the whole history of salvation, the Lamb has been the theme and remains in eternity. In eternity future, the Lamb will be the theme. We will circle the throne, crying out, "Worthy is the Lamb to receive glory and honor and praise, both now and forever." Amen. What a happy place heaven is. Every once in a while, I'm ready. You know, I am just so ready. I weep over the things that are happening in this nation and with this nation. I weep over the sinful state of this country and what's taking place. And I beg God for awakening and revival. I want us to have another opportunity. My grandkids have not as yet come to Christ. I would love to see the day when they come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. But what a joy it is to know we're not going to live in these tents forever. We're not going to have to put up with this mess. Listen, you have more mess in your life than you can handle. There's not a person in here that doesn't have more mess than you can handle. You get sick of yourself, sick of your life. Think about this. No more sexual abuse. No more drug abuse. No more lust. No more heartache. No more sorrow. No more tears. No more dying. Just endless joy and happiness. And you know the great thing that's going to happen is we're going to crown him king. I was thinking about the passage in Jude this morning. Came to my mind. It's Jude 24. Here's what Jude said. "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling." Every child of God in here is being kept. Because you are a wild thing. You're a wild thing. Your flesh, in our flesh dwells no good thing. You know who's keeping us? We are kept by the keeper. We're kept by the shepherd. "I don't know whether I'm going to endure." Oh, yes, you are, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless." Wow. To present you faultless, without fault, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. You ever think about your wrinkles or your spots? Now, ladies, I'm not talking about that kind of stuff. We have wrinkles and spots. But here's what I wanted to get to. He's able to keep you from falling, to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. And I used to preach it this way. Oh, how happy we're going to be. What joy we're going to have. And we are. But in that verse, it's not talking about our joy. It's talking about his joy. He's going to present us faultless with exceeding joy. Kind of like this. "Father, Father, I and all of the children which thou hast given me, they're all here. Not a one is missing. They're safe." That kind of joy. He's happy. I read in the Old Testament that passage that says, "He shall sing over us with joy." And I said to myself, what will he sing? When you have, a sorry, no good for nothing scuzz bag who's ugly in themselves and depraved and sinful and wretched, and you're going, what would he sing? He can't sing about us, "How great thou art." What is he going to sing? I think it'll have something to do with, "Look what I did all by myself without their help. It was amazing grace." What a day that'll be when my Jesus I shall see. and look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. Now listen, kids. We're going to go through some stuff. As God removes himself, and we have removed him, and he's a stranger in America. The President of the United States said 2 years ago, we're not a Christian nation, and he's right. Thanks to some of his doings. We are not a Christian nation. We're not. I mean, we're doing our best to get rid of God. Would you say that's right? I mean, we put him out of our schools. We put him out of our courts. We put him just about out of, he's not welcome. I'm not talking about you. With us, he's welcome. We want him to come back. We send out an invitation every day. Come back to this nation. Come back into our churches. Come back into our families. Look at the deterioration of the family. Look what's happening in this country that was built on godly principles. I saw on the news this week, and these kinds of things just blow me away. There was a little 18-year-old girl that was going to the university, and she was being interviewed, and they were demonstrating on campus, and she was looking right into the camera, and she is saying to the interviewer, "We demand a free college education, and that all of our loans are dismissed." And the guy who was interviewing her said something like this. Some of you have probably saw it. "And who's going to pay for that? Madeline, who's going to pay for that?" And she was about 18 years old. She goes like this. "That is really a good question." "That is really a great question, actually." And she's looking at the camera, and I know she's panicking because she doesn't have an answer. And she goes, "The top 1% of rich people in this country." Really? Really? Our kids have not been taught. We've got into this whole entitlement mentality of, "I want what's yours." And by the way, as things get worse, guess what? Entitlement people will riot. That's why I say keep your gun. Because if you've got it and they don't, they're going to come get it. Because they believe it's theirs. They don't believe they have to work for it. They don't believe they have to earn it. Something happened a long time ago in this nation. Our whole work ethic has gone to pot. I was 15 when my dad said to me, "I won't be buying you any more clothes. You need to get a job and buy your own clothes." "What? Get a job? Buy my own clothes?" And then he began to enforce it. And I got a job pretty quick at Van Dyke Clothiers. I never got much of a check because I was always buying clothes. But I got a job there. Worked there for years and years at Van Dyke Clothiers. Even when I was playing football, my dad would say to me, "You know, I'm not real sure you ought to be into this football thing. You ought to be working. You need to learn to work." We used to teach our kids that you earn, you work. You work, right? Our kids know nothing about the Constitution of the United States. They know nothing about the liberties and the freedoms that we enjoy in this country. When we talk about Second Amendment rights, First Amendment rights, they don't know what we're talking about. Because we haven't taught them. And quite frankly, I feel to some degree, that's why we're starting our youth programs. We're going to teach our kids here. What a great thing this was, this... Our kids making this film, what a tremendous thing that was and is. I believe God will use that in a great way to teach our kids. You're not what you're tagged with. If you're in Christ, you're accepted. You're not what the world says you are. You're not what your dad says you are. You're not what your mom said you are. You're what God says you are. All right. Now, about 5 o'clock, we're going to get on a plane and go, as I said, to that wicked city. City of deceit. A city with layers and layers and layers of meth. As I watched Friday night, the events taking place, I said to myself, and I've been saying this a bit, Lord, I think you have us going to Washington for more than $25,000. More than just Amen. To get a check. I want you to pray this way. And when I think about that, I think about it this way. Little old Kenny boy Clark is going to Washington. And here's kind of what the devil, I think, the accuser says, who do you think you are? Let me remind you, you were born in Lowe's, Kentucky on a hog farm. Your dad was a part-time preacher. You think God's going to take somebody like that? Look what God has done here with us. Right? We get to meet with two congressmen from our area here, Congressman Trott and Bishop. Pastor, it just seems like, I don't want you to be thinking that way. I want you to think this way. All right. And in the years to come, when I'm not here, possibly, I want you to think this way. You know, the old guy was right. It's coming to pass. This is exciting times. I wouldn't want to live in any other time than right now. I think it's the most exciting time, the most awesome opportunity to preach the gospel, to see people get their lives back, to see people change from the inside out. It's an awesome thing. Amen. And I hope you're up to the challenge with me. But today's message primarily was just to my children. These things are going to come to pass. There'll be some hard times, more than likely. We're $22 trillion in debt. By the way, 50 years ago, Lyndon Johnson started the war on poverty. He should have called it the war on drugs or something else, because it's not just poverty. Because money can't change you from the inside out. Only God can do that. We have spent trillions of dollars on the war on poverty. We are worse off now than we were in 1964 after spending $23 trillion on poverty. Our country is bankrupt. The dollar's worth 3 cents. Something's going to fold up here soon. You need to be knowledgeable. And I don't know, we all may be eating dinner once a day here in this building. Or we may be over at the center because there'll be no food. Maybe you can't buy food. The dollar's worthless. Say, Pastor, I don't want to think about all that. I don't want to think about all that. Then when it comes, what are you going to do? So whether you think about it or don't think about it, it's not going to stop it. It's coming. But always let this be deep down inside. I win. I win. This won't go on forever. They really can't do much to me. Even if they take my life, it's like the rabbit saying, don't throw me in the briar patch. Even if they kill you, you're immediately in the presence of the Lord. You'll never be unhappy again, even if they take your life. Say, I just don't want to think about all that. Think about it and then do what you can. Be accountable and responsible to do all you can to see if God will send awakening and revival. Amen.